going on. So with that said, I want to do our declaration today, and I want to jump into the Word. They're going to put the declaration on the screen. If you're new with us, just read through it as we say it, and I pray that you just kind of process what we're saying. I pray that it's something you can agree with because it aligns with biblical truth. And those that are used to this, join with me, hand motions or Bible. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to His Spirit. My ears are listening to His voice. My mind will believe what He says, and my voice will declare the truth of His Word. Amen? All right, let me pray. Jesus, I thank You so much for Your life and Your blood and everything we've already talked about today. I thank You for the way that You're moving. Lord, You said where two or more are gathered. Lord, there's two or more in this place. There's two or more online, and we thank You that You are ministering and You are moving. You can move through the airwaves and through all the digital space. Lord, I thank You for the ways that You're already touching this body and for all those people that are going to catch this message afterwards. Lord, would You be with me? Would You give me Your words? Would You give me Your strength to preach and teach this message? And Lord, remove all of me and increase more of You in this place and at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to officially welcome you all to 2022. It is the new year. Some people are like, hallelujah, 2021 is done. It's behind me. But something that I was just thinking about as I was kind of processing this word, I hope that you can see the valleys and the mountaintops. That there might have been really, really difficult times that we faced in the past couple years, but God is also propelling us forward. If we are in Him, we are moving at His trajectory, right? And so He's going to be taking us to those mountaintop moments as well. And so as I was looking back at my 2021, I was trying to say, Lord, would You help me see the mountaintops? Would You help me to see the good things, not as well as the times that were really troublesome or trying or difficult, where maybe I felt that He wasn't with me, but He was the entire time, right? So I was having that moment of reflection, and I pray that you are having that moment as well. But with the new year comes New Year's resolutions. And as I was thinking about these today, I've got a few that I want to share with you that I Googled. But I pray that you take a few moments today, especially with the sermon content and what we're going to be talking about, that you take a few moments to pray and seek the Lord. Lord, what is it that You want me to resolve to do? What is it that You want me to resolve to be? Right? So that's what we're going to talk about today. I want to give a couple definitions to get us going on resolve. So the first two, or actually technically first three I have are verbs. It is to decide firmly on a course of action. Have you ever met someone that they are determined, man? They have a resolve about them that is just unmistakable, and nothing is getting in their way. I want to remind you that Jesus was that way. So much so that when He was discussing it with the Father, He sweat drops of blood, and it wasn't because He was afraid. He was determined. He had a resolve to do the will of the Father. And for the human body, that was physically difficult. But for His spirit man, which was tied to the Father, He says, I'm doing this. Your will be done in my life. All right? So I don't want you to ever think Jesus was scared or He had second thoughts and didn't want to do it because He wanted to do the will of the Father. You need to hear that today. Next one, verb, to settle or find a solution to a problem, a dispute, or a contentious matter. Come on, we need resolution in those things. You need resolution today for maybe that family member that you haven't talked to in a while. Call them up. Resolve to make amends. Resolve to offer forgiveness because you were forgiven. So you ought to be forgiving. Amen? All right, I like this one because this speaks to our sin condition. Listen, in the case of medicine, to cause a symptom or condition to disperse, to subside, to heal. Jesus and His blood is what we needed to be washed white as snow, like we were talking about. He is the only way we can come to the Father. It's through Him, by Him only, all right? He resolved our sin condition. And then the noun, I like this one too. A firm determination to do something. I hope today, as you've been thinking about resolutions, you have a firm determination to do something. Whatever it is, I got to do something. I can't stay the way that I've been. I can't do the things that I've been doing. I've got to change, okay? Now, here are some examples of New Year's resolutions, and y'all know me. I had to be a little bit funny on this, so bear with me. We'll get to the serious stuff in a minute, but first off, the first one I thought was a good one, build and stick to a budget. That's good, right? We need to not only build a budget, but we need to stick to the budget. That's not a bad resolution. I pray that if that is a resolution that you want to do, that the Lord is with you, that He has favor upon you, that He teaches you wisdom, how to use that money, how to invest the money, how to spend it wisely, all the above. That's how you're going to stick to the budget. Jesus. The next one I also really like, read more books. Come on. I pray that in one of those sessions that you have in reading more books, that you take the time that a lot of Christians don't. And would you pick this up? Maybe start that 21 days of prayer and fasting with us, and at the very least listen to the Bible, and then start a habit to where you're continually reading the Bible and asking the Lord what He wants to say and what He wants to do in you in that time, that's His time. And something I would say is maybe start easy, maybe start small and have some time, but I encourage you to challenge yourself. If you say, I'm going to wake up every morning at this time to read the Bible for this long, would you do that 3 or 4 times during the day? I think you're going to be blessed. You're going to have those times of refreshing where, man, you're having a hard time during the day. Maybe you woke up at 7, 6, 5, whatever it is, and you read for a little bit, and then you're just like, man, I need a boost. Go back to the Word. Hit the Word before lunch. Hit the Word before dinner. And realize that strength that you get from spending time in His presence will sustain you through the rest of the day. So make more time for Him, not less. Can you hear that? All right, I don't know who needed this. I thought this one was funny. I had to include it. Drink less alcohol. Hey, it's for somebody. Whoever you are, we encourage you to drink less alcohol. In fact, I'm going to pray for you. Lord Jesus, will you free them from any bondage that they have towards substance abuse? Would you help them drink less alcohol in Jesus' name? Next one, and I saw a meme on this one. This one was pretty funny too. Eat healthy and exercise. I saw this little cartoon meme that had two people stuffing their face full of all kinds of food and junk and all that. And they said, we're about to start a resolution for eating healthy and exercising. We better get this in while we can, right? Don't do that. I hope you didn't do that this weekend. But I encourage you that if you want to eat healthy and exercise, get some champions, get some people to go along that journey with you and encourage you and motivate you and motivate each other. This should not be done alone, especially that. That's really hard. So get someone to join in with you. This one kind of ties into that, but I've done this before and I love it. It sounds bad, but it's really not. Take the stairs and park further out when possible. Man, that's not bad. Do it. Like that little bit is going to help you get jump-started into the previous one. Amen? Plan a vacation and take it. Man, how many times do we plan for things and we don't do anything with it? I encourage you to plan a vacation, and in that planning process, you ask the Lord to bless it, bring provision, bring people that can cover your shift at work and all the things. But plan that vacation, and then most importantly, take that vacation. I also like this one. This one's going to strike a few of you as odd, but there is so much wisdom in this. Go to therapy or counseling. If you don't have a counselor, I encourage you to get a Christian counselor. But if you don't have a counselor in your life, someone that you can just vent to and let it all out, get one. But what do you mean, Chris? I can have Jesus and a counselor? You absolutely can have Jesus and a counselor. There are so many wise Christian men and women who go to Jesus and they have a counselor. If that's what you need, do it in Jesus' name and be blessed in it. Volunteer in the community. Come on, somebody. I think that is good. I think, whether it's partnered with a church ministry or not, give back to your community. Whether it's the one you live in, the one that you maybe have been driving around or walking through that time of exercise, come on. And you just feel the Lord drop in your spirit that you need to pray for them and you need to minister to them and you need to help them. I encourage you to volunteer in your community. Last two, spend more time with family. I don't think we can get away from this one. And whether it's moments, whether it's minutes, just like I said earlier, just give all the time that you can to spend more time with family. My kids, as I look at them back here running sound and media and video, are getting way too big, way too fast. Fun fact, so you can see about how tall I am in the video shot, those that know me, my second-born son, Eli, is taller than me now. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I am no longer the tallest man in my household. So my kids and your kids and our kids and grandchildren, do not stay small forever. Would you spend time with them? Would you impact their life? Would you teach them what it means to be a Jesus follower and what it means to do life and have a skill and teach them the things of old, the things that you did when you were young? We were talking with somebody the other day, and I'm reminded of it now. They said, kids these days don't know how to can goods. They don't know how to preserve food. Well, if you know, and that's something that you want to teach, how about we teach some kids how to can some food so they can preserve and be prepared for days like today where you don't want to get out and go to the grocery store because it's cold and nasty, right? But spend more time with family. And the last one, I like this one. To learn a new skill or to hone one that you have. I see a couple people in our room today, and I know some skills that they've shared, but maybe you want to learn a piano or another instrument. Maybe you want to develop your singing voice. Maybe you want to learn computers. Maybe you want to this, that, and the other, right? Whatever it is, I encourage you to plan. Hey, Jesus, would you be with me in this endeavor? I believe you've already given me that innate ability. Now multiply it as I'm faithful in using it. He's not going to do something that we don't ask, right? He wants us to be specific. Will you help me with this? And he's going to say, I've been waiting on you to ask me that. Yes, let's do it, right? So to learn or hone a new skill. I encourage you guys that are online with us today, if you've thought of a resolution, something that you've partnered with Jesus and you're resolved to do or you're resolved to be for 2022, would you share it in the chat with us so that we can go back through it and not only just read it and agree with you, but pray over it with you, okay? So I'm probably going to turn this off now, so I hope that you do share those things with us, but I don't want to be distracted as we get into the Word. So the first question that I thought about, as I mentioned earlier, when I'm thinking about resolve, it's we typically make these because we don't want to be what we are now. Now, sometimes that's a kind of a pity party or a self-defeat kind of thing, and I encourage you not to be that way. But I think many of us, in thinking and in prayer, we want to be moving forward. We want to be transforming. We want to be changing in a good way. So my question that I started off with today is, who will we be? Who do you want to be? Who do you resolve to start becoming in this year and the years beyond? So I want to read three stories that just popped out to me. They happen to coincide with faith, hope, and love, so there's that. But three people and their stories today that I want to share with us as we think about who we want to be. The first one is faith. In Luke 7, verses 1 through 9, the Word of God says, "When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There was a centurion's servant whose master valued him highly, and he was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, 'This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue.' So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, 'Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it.' And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." This is so powerful to me. And the thoughts that I have here, you guys can go ahead and keep the scripture up just for a minute. But the thoughts that I had on this was, he was a man under authority. He was a Gentile, not one of the Jews. And in the verses here, it says, he sent some of the elders and they pleaded earnestly with Jesus. And here's some of the things they said. He deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and he built our synagogue. I need you to hear today that to have a faith like the centurion, I don't think he told them to plead with the Lord. I don't think he told them, tell them about all the good things that I did. In fact, right after that verse and Jesus is on his way, he sends somebody else out because they didn't get the story right the first time. And he sends someone else out and he says, "Lord, don't trouble yourself. I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." He knows his worth. And he also knows that you don't have to beg and plead with Jesus because Jesus was there to do just that. You don't have to tell Jesus and read this long manuscript of how good you are or how much you've got it all together or don't have it all together. He knows. You can embellish all you want and he's still going to say, "Really? I'm going to do it anyway, but you know, you probably want to throw that away. That's junk, right?" In him, we are those things, but apart from him, we could do nothing, all right? Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to transform you. You don't have to read off your rap sheet, good or bad, okay? But it's just so powerful when I read this, and he reminded him that I am not worthy, but I'm a man who understands authority. And he had heard of Jesus. He had heard of what he's done. And he says, "I'm going to go to you because I understand that, and you are doing what you see. You're saying what you hear," right? Jesus tells us that, what he heard the Father say and what he saw the Father do. And he sees that, and he desires that for his servant. And he loved his servant. So all that said to say is, I pray that we have a faith like the centurion. Not one where we have to convince the Lord to do something, but where we believe that he can do all things, regardless of me and my situation, and I just have to trust that he's going to do it, and he will do it, and he delights to do it. Can you hear that today? The second story I have, that in these next two stories, they're sort of tied together in the sense they're in the same family, but I thought it was so powerful not to share. So the second story I have is a story of hope, and it's about Martha, the sister of Lazarus, and Mary. And normally, Martha gets the bad rap of being the sister who's doing all the work, right? I think we have a Martha online. We're not talking about that Martha. We're talking about the Bible Martha. But she gets the bad rap for doing all the work while Mary was sitting at the master's feet. Well, she gets her story too. And let's check this out. It's in John 11, 17 through 26. Lazarus had died, and so Jesus is on his way. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Like, he was dead, okay? And that time frame is important. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Small little tidbit on this. Maybe Mary just doesn't like to do a whole lot because she's just like, I'm just going to stay right here, you know. So some of y'all like agree with Mary. Like, I like her style. But anyways, I just thought that was funny, that common thread, whatever. And Martha said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." I like that she just believes in Jesus and trusts him so much that he could stop anything, right? He could prevent it. But he's going to teach her something else about himself in just a minute. "My brother would not have died, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Remember when he reminds us to pray in his name? "If you ask anything in my name, it will be done for you." Now, that's in accordance to his will, in accordance to his purpose. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Wow. Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, come on, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now, I didn't include her response, but her response was a resounding yes. But do you see the hope in her? And so she's dealing with the grief of losing her brother. And in spite of all of that, in spite of however you read this question, I did not read this question and this interaction of her belittling Jesus or being angry or any of that. I didn't get that sense or that feeling. I don't know about you, but I tend to try to put myself in those situations. And I heard a desperate plea, but look at what she says. So the first point of hope, if you have been here, this wouldn't be an issue. So she already knew there was something in him that could cause reality to shift. Things that are to no longer be, because at his word, all creation moves and forms to what he says. Do you see that? So he can't tell a lie, because the moment that he speaks, it becomes truth. Isn't that powerful? Like, oh, he's not dead. Well, he's not now, because you just said it, right? You see that. So I like that. So keep going with me here. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. I have hope. I don't see it. I'm not seeing with human eyes. I don't even quite understand it sometimes. But I know the scriptures say, is kind of what I feel that she's saying. I know it's been said that there is a resurrection at the last day. I believe that. But God will give you whatever you ask, right? And then he drops these truth bombs on her. Your brother will rise again. Remember? All creation starting to scramble. Oh, hold on a second. Master's changing something. Let's move to make it happen, right? All creation is shifting. Your brother's going to rise again. He's speaking it prophetically right now, right? Your brother will rise again. That thing in your life that you thought was dead and gone, your call, your mission, God doesn't take back those gifts. It will rise again, all right? And then she answers and says, I know it's going to happen at the last day. She's trying to put her container on it, right? I know it's going to happen. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Wow. I don't know about you, but that just gets all over me. I get excited when I hear these things from Jesus. And I hope that when you hear these things, you don't think, well, that was true back then. 2,000 something years later, I'm not so sure. Man, I need to share something with you today on this. The Lord keeps reminding me of it, so here it comes. All of him now lives in you. And if you're not seeing these things, I just said a minute ago that he doesn't take back any of his gifts. But you and I sure can do something like this. I'm gonna illustrate this for you, because it just, oh man, they need a blessing. Right now, that's the Lord speaking as you're seeing them. They need a blessing right now. Oh, shh. We got to be the good Christian. We gotta have it all together. Shh. Not here. Not now. Wrong time. Wrong place. No. I think they need something. I think I need to go over there and say something to them. I think I need to go over there and pray with them. Not now. Not now. Do you see that? Can you hear that? You have all of Jesus living in you. And you're telling them to keep it quiet, keep it under wraps. What will they think about me? What will they say about me? I don't know if I want to do that, Lord. I encourage you to repent. Because we all do it. Not a single person is exempt. And if you're not seeing resurrection power happen in your life and in your sphere of influence, you don't need to ask him what's going on. You need to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I'm doing. Use me. I want to obey at your word. I want to obey immediately. Because I never want to not hear your voice. I never want to not feel your power. I don't think there's anything scarier than that, y'all. I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life now lives in you. Are you keeping it under wraps? Or are you letting it out? I'm telling you, you're going to look like a freak. You're going to be a weirdo. You're going to be a holy roller. You're going to be one of those people, people are kind of like, man, I'm not sure about them. But that's okay, because they said all the same things about him. I want to be in his company, at his table, not with the people who've got it all together. Goodness, I don't know if I'm going to get through the rest of that. Then we get to love. We see Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. In this story, I love how she saw Jesus. She really saw him. And this was before some of the other ones we get about her. But we see how she loved him, and we see how she allowed herself to be loved by him. She loved him, and she received the love that he had for her. Can you hear that today? And all I can think about is I want a perspective. I want a way to view reality and everything around me that sits from the vantage point of being loved by him. If I am loved, I perceive everything differently. I act differently, right? Oh, feather there. Sorry, I got distracted. Luke 7, verse 40 through 47. Jesus has entered the house of Simon, and Simon is not too happy about who we find out later to be Mary. She enters in and kind of crashes his party. Let's see what Jesus says. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other owed him 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put any oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." In those days, it was culturally appropriate to greet someone in your house a certain way. And this man had not done any of those things. And as I was processing this, I was thinking, was it just because it was Jesus and he didn't really respect or like or whatever? But I'm concerned that it wasn't just Jesus. He didn't do it for Jesus. He probably wasn't doing it for anybody else. I don't know. I think either way we look at that, it's kind of jacked up, right? But Jesus calls this woman blessed. And the way that she loved him and was loved by him is just, it's so powerful. One version even talks about how her story will be told and known, right? Like remembered. And I don't know which side of this you sit on. Are you Simon in this story, or are you Mary in this story? I encourage you that you would ask the Lord to increase your heart's capacity to receive his love and to receive his forgiveness, because she was operating in that full capacity. And I want to operate in that full capacity. Lord, I know that I'm loved, and I want to be someone who loves others. I know that I'm forgiven of so much. I want to be someone who forgives others and doesn't hold a grudge and doesn't talk bad about them when they leave the room and doesn't talk bad about them when I'm chilling at home and they don't know. Because God knows. He hears. All those things that you said about them. Man, did you see what they wore to church today? What were they thinking? Did you hear what they said? Come on. God's hearing you right now. Keep it up. He's like, hold on a second. I'm play record so that on the last day when we're talking, I'll play this back for you and see what you think about it. You know that that's going to happen. Probably not with a recording device, but he's gonna let that play out for you so you can see and remember what you said, what you did. Be mindful of what you say. Now, I think the kind of gotcha here is you may be sitting here thinking, man, I don't know about all this. I'm not sure. And my response to you in this is you could continue as you are. You can make some half-hearted decision to change or do something knowing that you won't complete it and most likely quit within a few weeks. Or you can fall at the feet of Jesus right now, which I think is honestly the easier of the two choices, because one of them is going to cost a whole lot more than you're willing to pay and take you a whole lot farther than you're willing to go, and you're going to find that you have nothing. Or you could start with Jesus, the only one that can do any of this right now, because he's the one you need to change. I think hearing and visualizing these stories, while I love it so much, it's only part of the solution. I believe Jesus is calling us to action. He wants us to do something. The Word of God says, do not be hearers of the Word, but be doers. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourself. You're playing some kind of weird game. I was thinking about it this way. I was telling Kaya or Eli, somebody about this as I was kind of processing the Word. It's like a little baby. It's like a little toddler. You ever hear the ones that mom and dad have done like a nice job of teaching them proper grammar and all of that, but they don't understand the context and how they're using it, so they're using these big words, and you're like, did you just say that? like, good job. You pronounced it better than I do. Like, they said Worcestershire, and I don't even know how to pronounce it. Right? Was that right? I don't know. But they're saying words that they have no understanding what it means. That's us when our heads are in the Word all day and we're reading and reading and reading and reading. Like, I read through the Bible 5 times this year. Yeah, but you don't do any of it. You don't allow the Lord to work that out in you and transform you. So yeah, you know a lot of stuff. You can recite it better than anybody else up here. But if you don't live it, it's fake. It's not real. And Jesus wants us to live it out. He wants us to do it. So when I share these stories, a lot of time I barely get through them without choking up. But like, they're so real to me because I feel them. And more importantly, most importantly, I want to do what he says. And oftentimes I think it's my heart or my spirit saying, man, I'm not there yet. I so want to be there. And Jesus' gentle words coming in and saying, I've got this. Relinquish control to me. Surrender to me. I've got this. And I think maybe he's told you that before. Maybe he's told you that already. And you're still, shh, 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 shh. Would you let him talk? Would you allow him to take control? I think the church has been deceived into thinking that the things we do and the things that we teach only apply to a select group of people. That's the pastor's job. That's the associate pastor's job. Pastor Glenn is the only one that has to visit people who are in the hospital or homebound. That's his job. Man, how dare we? There's so much more life and community in us serving each other and working with each other. It's not about who's on staff or who has a ministry title. Titles mean nothing when it comes to Jesus. He's asking, are you loving the orphans and the widows and the sick? Or are you just saying that you do? Well, we said, bless you in Jesus' name. And it's kind of like that story in Scripture that's also scary, where he says, be gone from me, I never knew you. He knows when we're faking. I encourage you to watch that. I don't think any of these people that we've read about did what they did or were commended because of their ability to warm a seat or to shout amen, hallelujah. They were commended because they did what no one else was willing to do or currently doing. In a way, you can kind of say they were rebels because they were pushing against society and what they said or what religion said godliness was. And it says, I don't know. This Jesus, he doesn't act like that. He doesn't talk like that. And you better believe that they and us will face persecution, including persecution from the religious community. I like these last couple stories I'm going to share with you when I think about what we're supposed to do. When reminded by Joshua of all of God's faithfulness, the Israelites, and just like the Israelites, we are going to have to do the same, had to come to a decision. Listen to what it says in Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15. He says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you're going to serve. Whether those gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, whether it's that god or that conspiracy or that weird thing that mom and dad told you about and you just believed all your life, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living, or that car that's parked out in your front yard, your bank account, pick a god, whatever it is that you're serving. Do you want to serve those today? But here's what Joshua says, and here's what the Lord is reminding you. But Joshua said, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. So I'm drawing the line in the sand right now. We're on his side. I guess you're on your side or whatever side you want to be on, but it's not the side. His is the side. He wasn't saying, follow me as we do these great things. No, 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 no. We're following him. And he said to do these things. The other thing that I thought about before I read this next scripture is I hear you. We all have questions, and sometimes we even have doubts. I don't believe that God is, not only is he not afraid, but I don't think he's even delayed by those. I don't think he's scared of them. I believe that it's important that just as God called Moses and helped him deal with his doubts and questions and all the other patriarchs we read about, I believe he's going to do it for you too. Check out what he says to Moses in Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Moses answered when called to go set God's people free from Egypt. He says, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Right? That's... Can you think about that in today's society? So you're telling me a God you can't see and I can't tell that you can hear told you to do this. And you're going to say, yeah. Right? That's what this is like. That's, people say this all the time. I don't care. Yeah, it's real, but I know what he said. I know what he called me to do. Then the Lord said to him, this is so powerful. Listen to what he says. Then the Lord said to him, what's that in your hand? Jeremy, what's in your hand? Candace, what's in your hand? Kaya, what's in your hand? He wasn't saying that he was blind or he didn't know. He's saying, whatever's in your hand, that's enough. Go. Do it. Let's start. Come on. You know, let's start with step one. What's in your hand? He tells him it's a staff. All right, that's good enough. Let's go. Right? I think it's so powerful that we have to hear the Lord calling us, and our hands are lifted high. God, all of me, I want to serve all that you want me to do, all that you've called me to be. And he's going to say, what have I given you? What have I already told you? How about we start there? Can we do that? Is that easy enough? My final point, and it's probably going to be all of our least favorite. What must cease in order for me to become someone new or to do someone different? The way that Eli would word this is, what has to die in order for me to step into what you've called me to do? Now, I need you to hear this. Man, this is so powerful. And two really, really powerful points of scripture that we're going to read in just a second. But you need to understand that to desire the experience and power of God to move in your life and to experience the kingdom in your life is going to cause you to give up a few things. Because where God's holiness and his power exists, we cannot. Okay? Our flesh and our desires can't exist in the same space that his holiness and his will does. And that's why, man, this has been on my heart. I don't know if this is for anybody else, but I know it was for me, but I'm going to share it. I'm echoing what John the Baptist said, like almost every day now. He must increase and I must decrease. He must increase and I must decrease. Now let's look at the way this point was described in scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1, we're going to read 1 through 5. Listen to this vision that Isaiah had. Isaiah is a young man at this time. He's got red hair. I'm imagining Kaya. So Kaya's standing before the Lord, seeing this vision, okay? That's about how it probably was. I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. The temple is massive. That is a big robe. And above him were the seraphim, angels, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were all calling to one another. They were encouraging one another. Can you hear this? We need to be doing this today. Come on. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Listen to this part. I love this. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Man, that same God who's holy and mighty lives in you, and you're telling him, get back in there. We want to be that presentable Christian. It's got it all together. You're telling me that we're doing that? Yes, I'm telling you that we've been doing that. Listen to Isaiah's response that needs to be our response. Woe to me! I cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty. That is a proper heart posture. Now, thankfully for us and for Isaiah, he was not obliterated in that moment. They took a coal and they touched him, and they said, you've been cleansed. Jesus came into our life and he touched us. We've been cleansed. We can stand in his presence and not be destroyed. I think it's powerful. But I think we need to remember the depth and the majesty that we are standing in front of. That his presence and his glory is filling the whole temple and causing us to shake. Right? I don't know about you, but sometimes I get to shaking and I can't stop. Don't tell him to quiet down. More. More, Lord. Listen to what Simon Peter said when he experienced the majesty and power of Jesus. In Luke 5, 8 through 10, when Simon Peter saw all this, so he told them to drop their nets. They've been fishing all night. Drop the nets, and they get this load of fish. When he saw this, in verse 8, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me. Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had just taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to you, "Don't be afraid." What is the world trying to convince us to do and to be? Afraid. Afraid of going outside your front door. Oh, I'm going to step on some toes, but it's coming. You ready? We'll go to football games. We'll take our kids to soccer and basketball and t-ball and all these other games, but we won't come to church. I'm just saying, we won't go to the place where we find healing. Maybe because the church, not the church, Jesus' bride, but us who have been playing church, aren't experiencing his power and presence anymore because of the way that we're attacking each other and the way that we've lost the joy of our salvation and we've lost the reverence for his presence. And so when people walk in this place, in these places, they're not experiencing, "I am the resurrection and life." They're experiencing, "Hey, did you hear what so-and-so did the other day? How can they even stand up there on that stage? That pastor? Come on. I know 10 better than him." And we wonder why we're not considered essential, but T-ball is. Like I said, I guess I'm offending everybody today, but I just feel that's from the Lord. If his people and people who are not yet his people start experiencing his power in these places, we're not going to keep the doors shut. And they're going to be just revolving, just continually open, because people are going to continue to get healed and they're going to go out and bring someone else to come along the journey with them. Because that's what he's called us to do. So why don't people want to be more active in church? Because we don't like surrender. We don't want to give up control. What? I got to die? I don't like that. I don't want to die. Listen to what Galatians 2:20 says. "For I have been crucified with Christ. And I, Chris, I no longer live, but Jesus lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Are you living your life that way, where you no longer live, but he lives in you, and people see it, they experience it, they feel it? Here's the contrast. Revelation 3:15-16, another set of scary scriptures. In these verses, Jesus describes lukewarm followers who try to live partly in the old life and partly in the new life as those whom he will spit out. What good and loving and perfect Jesus is going to spit us out? If you're fake, yeah. That lukewarm condition characterized the church of Laodicea, unfortunately, as well as many churches today. Being lukewarm is a symptom of unwillingness to die to self and live for Christ. So he says in Revelation 3:15-16, "I know your deeds." Remember what I said earlier? He hears you when you're at home and you think no one else is listening. "I know your deeds, that you're not cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." I don't know about you, especially on a day like today. I want to be hot. I want to be a fire for him. But what he's saying is, whether you're on fire for me or whether you're cold and dead, at least I know where you stand. You guys that are trying to ride that fence, trying to land somewhere in the middle, I don't know where you stand. Whose side are you on? That's detestable. Get out of here. Get away from me. I never knew you. He's spitting us out. I don't want to be in that group. I want to be hot, on fire, set ablaze for Jesus. I want to leave you with this last verse here as we close. Galatians 5, verse 24 through 25. He says, those who belong, I'm going to say, those who really belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And guys, this is daily. I have to wake up and daily go to the altar and lay my life down and say, I don't want to do this myself anymore, any day, no matter what. I want you and your will. I have to die daily. And that's what he tells us to do. That's what he's saying here. I have crucified the flesh and its passions and its desires. And I'm going to add another little part here. So, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And all I can think about is the military march. Left, 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 right, left. They're in sync. They're in unison. So whether the Holy Spirit's holding me or whether the Holy Spirit's leading and I'm walking behind Him, one or the other, I'm with Him. I go where He goes. I say what He says. I do what He wants me to do. Are you walking in step with Him today? And then as Isaiah reminded us, the whole earth is full of His glory. The train of His robe and His presence filled the temple. Are you in step with Him? Are you full of His presence? Did you know that you could be full of more of His presence? All you got to do is ask, and all you have to do is be willing to relinquish control and die to yourself, your plan, and your desires. God gave you gifts. He did not and will not take them back, but you can choose to either pick them up or lay them down. That is your choice. Will you choose today to say, I resolve to be a child of God, on fire for God, doing the will of God? I'm in. All in. And I want you to be all in. And just like I said about some of these other resolutions, it's so much easier to go together. I'm never alone. We're never alone because Jesus is always with us. But man, He would rather His children all be serving together. Like-hearted, like-minded, in unity. Will you go with me today? I encourage you to just pray with me during this time, and we're going to be dismissed. I thank you so much for joining us online. I pray that you've commented. I pray that you've asked for prayer and just asked for encouragement. Hey, I want to do what Pastor's talking about. I want to step further into what he's saying today. I encourage you to type that in the chat because we want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. And most importantly, we want to lock arms and walk with you. Do this together. But would you just pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I want to be your vessel. I want to be filled with your Spirit. And I want all of you to run out on all those that I meet. That there would be this constant filling and pouring. Filling and pouring. Lord, I want to be close to you for all of my days. Be my Lord, my Master, my Savior, my all in all. I love you. I praise you. Here I am. Send me. Use me. In Jesus' name, amen. I bless you today. I encourage you to put your faith to action. Whatever it is that you've resolved to do today, put it to action. Don't just talk about it. Don't just gloat about it. Don't just have it on a plaque and saying, oh, it'd be nice to be that one day. Make it start right now, today. He lives in you and He wants to use you. Bless you in Jesus' name. Love you guys.